Karat, we're here again.
Hello, hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good, but I am super, super cold.
Yeah, you're still in the garage.
In the gaming garage.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a glorious name for what is just like a stinky old garage.
Yeah, but this week, well, certainly today, I've been out for a walk and, oh my God, it's cold.
Mm, yeah, yeah, likewise. I had to go and deliver some parcels and, yeah. Very, very, very wintry feeling out there. I'm planning a little walk later on if we get a bit of snow. Should be a bit of fun.
I have been, I've just become a Southern Jesse. I've lived in England for 30 some years. And honestly, I've just become a Jesse.
Basically, and there was I expecting, particularly after yesterday's result in the rugby, which first of all, yeah. Congratulations. I thought you would have been running around, daubed nothing but blue paint and, wafting your kilt and sporran at all us Southern Jesses everywhere you were going.
Well, you know, I am actually sitting here unshaven and naked from the waist down. So, I wouldn't do that. Obviously.
And you wonder where he keeps his meeples.
I'd never do a podcast unshaven. Yeah. So, here we are again, and we promised ourselves, let's do the stuff at the top that we should always do. What is this episode called?
So, we are going to, because as we've discussed previously, the naming of trying to name each episode in something aligned to a game, and I think we're on number 4, so this is Quattro Master General.
Oh, boom.
Hey,
you come wordsmith. On.
Hey, don't get any better than that. It really doesn't. It really doesn't.
It doesn't follow the theme of the podcast, but it's good. I like your style.
It was that took me literally minutes of internet browsing to come up with that.
So, what are we called?
So, this is the Bold and Bored podcast, and in the words of John Sims' character in Human Traffic, if you've ever seen that film.
Yes.
I think this is kind of a fortnightly opportunity where we sit around and talk COD shit, I believe is the, is I believe the phrase.
Sometimes board games, sometimes card games, sometimes other stuff entirely off topic.
Yeah, and always around the table. As much as what's at the table is we can't be together, you know, as we've said right at the back of episode 0, I think it was, this is kind of like if we were just sitting around playing a game somewhere and it's the kind of chat that goes on and that's it really.
Yeah. Okay. So here's your bed. Can you hear that?
Well, it's very quiet.
It is very quiet. That's because it's just background cafe noise.
Clean up table 4.
I asked for a fish. I'm not going to kill that because that's crap. So we're just here to chit and chat, and hopefully some people will find it either useful or amusing or help them get to sleep, whatever.
Yeah, well, we should say hello to our listener. We hope you have been well this week.
Mum, how are you? She plays catch up. She's a bit like Maria. So we'll be doing this one, and downstairs, Maria will be listening to the last episode we did. She might burst in halfway through because I think I might have mentioned that she forces me to go walking. And when I said that, I tried to backtrack on the fly, but it didn't really work. She doesn't force me to go walking. She suggests that we go walking. I try and resist, but then realize that really it's a good thing for my heart.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, and it turns out, so I've realized after, I think I stated last time that I can still just about fit my clothing. I have, so I managed to knacker my back. So spent a week on diazepam and lots of other really funky pills and didn't move very much. And turns out it doesn't take much before you find out your clothing doesn't fit anymore. No. So a lot more walking is in order for me.
Hence me. Being naked from the waist down. Yeah.
Well, that's very good.
Yeah. Good.
You know what the answer is to this, right?
What's that?
Okay, and I've thought this for a long time, right? So anything like this, with, you know, obviously we're on laptops, you know, MacBooks, whatever. What would be really cool is if you had to sit here with a little pedal cycle to generate the energy to run the laptop that you were actually doing. So for the duration of this podcast, apart from the fact it would be a lot of heavy breathing going on, that you'd have to generate the energy by doing that.
To run the laptop or the Mac?
Yeah.
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 And whereas actually what we're doing is Skittles and Diet Pepsi.
Ah, yeah. It's even I thought I've had to bring out supplies today. So I've got a Kendall mint cake and a large St. Bernard's dog who's going to dig me out later on.
Very good. Right. Are we just going to bust straight into this? Because we promised ourselves we're going to try and keep it under an hour, yeah?
We are going to keep it under an hour, right? Because my legs are already going numb.
So. Right. Okay, here we go. The news. So, am I starting or are you starting?
Can I do one real quickly at the start?
Yeah, of course.
This is now. This shouldn't be news to anybody, okay? But the news, or is really that. People believe, think, say, and do shitty things. And some of them are quote unquote social media influencers, content creators. People in all parts of the industry are doing, saying, and thinking shitty things. So can we please stop putting people on pedestals? Because really, the news is there's just as many knobs in this hobby as in others. So let's just keep on calling that out, calling out their knobbery and dealing with it. Okay.
So are you going to be more specific than that? Because I noticed, because you and I share duties on our other social media outlets, and I went in yesterday and there was a little notification about people being knobs, and I didn't know, because we haven't really had a chance to chat because we've been busy, what it was in reference to.
Well, this is, so I am not going to repeat the quote unquote, air quote, mistake that was made by a certain individual by naming people. But it was the fact that someone had, in the ongoing discussion around race and racism and use of language, basically someone had posted up a video where in effect they kind of tried to sort of deflect and defend it, and but what they did is they then named other people who had called out that behavior, and it was all just, it's all getting nasty and unpleasant. But the funny thing is, right, and I sent you a video to this earlier, right, there's a video that's just going on, Good Trouble. It's by Shelf Stories on YouTube. I think it's worth looking at, because I was chatting to Matt earlier in the week and saying, this feels like a tipping point that actually we have to be accountable and deal with it and discuss with this and grow, because otherwise we could never really call this an inclusive hobby if we don't have these difficult conversations and deal with them, but deal with them in the right way, not in, there's a guy who's getting like death threats because he spoke out against what a content creator had said. And it's like, I mean, get a fucking grip, you know, and to put people on pedestals, and people, I think people look up to people far too much online, not just in board games as a whole, you know, as in these, I hate the phrase social media influencers or influencers. They're all just people, you know? And they're all just as flawed and fallible, and they might just be as shitty as anybody else that you might come across. So, you know, that's it.
That phrase, it makes my shit sting. Influencers. You know, it seems to be a phrase that is used by the people who think they're doing it.
Yes.
Whereas, when anybody uses that, they kind of lose me if they use it in reference to themselves, because I think, well, you don't fucking influence me, so fuck off.
Well, you'll be glad to know that in our lofty position in the podcasting community, we will be influencing very few people. So yeah. I think we're on safe ground. But, you know, it's just, it's sad. You know, the whole thing is just really, really, really sad. But I'm starting to think that the news is that we've got to go through this. you know, because otherwise it's just going to like, it will happen again and it will happen again and it will happen again. And this whole unpleasant period, you know, will be for nothing if we really don't talk about it and deal with it. And actually, you know, it's not down to kind of old white dudes like me to be kind of telling people how they should react and how they should feel and all the rest of it. We should just listen to what people are saying and be supporting people.
Yeah, because I mean, if we're still talking about the original thing that sparked all this off, mm-hmm. you know, I think it elicited an apology, but it was an apology that was basically, you don't understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was an element of cultural appropriation in there that I thought was completely wrong. I actually went to a friend of mine who lives in a foreign country because I used to work for a company in that country and asked what his opinion was, because I didn't trust Google Translate to translate the thing that I was trying to understand. And he came back originally and he said, I don't think there's racism involved in this. I think, you know, the whole conversation or the whole post started from what seemed like a fairly good place. Unfortunately, it dissolved into something else because he let his trousers fall down and show his knob by saying a word that, you know, he had appropriated in company. And his apology was hollow. Now, the flip side to that is, I don't think going forward, any apology that he ever makes will allow him to recover any sort of reputation, because people will be so unforgiving of it. And I find that difficult to deal with because he's tried to apologize, but in fact really just said, I'm apologizing for the fact you don't understand what I'm saying. Any apology he makes from now on, I would be surprised if people would accept it.
Yeah, because you're right. It's sort of like what I'm sorry. It's a bit like it's like our I'm going to get political here. I try not to, but like our government has got a tendency of saying, "Well, I'm sorry that you're offended. That's what I'm apologizing for."
Yeah, it's like, exactly.
Well, hold on. No, what you should be apologizing for, and actually, what would be better is to turn around and go, "Oh, actually, do you know what I did?" Or said an awful thing, help me make this, you know, help educate me, you know, let me learn where I've gone wrong. I don't want to be that person who you might think I am, you know, and that's, you know, that's where I think we need to get to. But it's just been too much, you know, this week has just been, if you follow any of like sort of, you know, Twitter or Facebook or the rest of it, it's just been absolutely rife.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just think, this feels like it's a, it's growing pains, you know, this is a horrible thing, but I hope that we come through it on the other side. And actually we can have a genuinely inclusive, you know, community of people who come together over the shared love of gaming.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. That's the bottom line. That's what it should be.
Okay. So we're still on news. Yeah.
Yes.
And you did your first bit of news, which was the topic that you started with, and I hijacked. Sorry.
No. I was just I was just a bit pissed off this week, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
But that's so, me grumping. No, mumping, isn't it? That you call it, not grumping.
Mumping, grumping, whatever. Yeah, moaning.
That's me mumping over. It's gonna be all good from here on in.
All right. So I'm going with my first one, and none of mine are really. They're not news as such. Mine are really about Kickstarters in general. But I'll go with the first one: Paladins of the West Kingdom, Save Crowns, the first expansion, and in fact, looking at some of the stuff that Shem Phillips has been saying, the only expansion.
Okay.
So it is going to be an add-on board that sits on the right side of the board. And gives you new abilities, so muster and negotiate. If you haven't played the game, I apologize. I think at the moment it is probably my favorite of the three of the West Kingdom games, but that's only because the first one, which is Architects, it feels overly simplistic when you compare it to Paladins, and I haven't played Viscounts enough to know you know, how good that is. But this adds a couple of, like I say, a couple of extra areas that you can go to gather resource or, you know, expand your influence or whatever. It looks quite good. The slightly more disappointing thing is that Shem Phillips has said that he's putting out a collector's box, but this is going to be the only expansion for the game. So, you know, we were back to the bloody, how many boxes do you need for something? You know, you've got the game box, you've got the expansion box, and then there's a collector's box to put everything from the game box and the fucking expansion box in, which annoys me slightly, but I'm going to forgive him because I love the games.
They need to do like, did you ever have, what's it called, Corona or Cresta? We used to have like a lorry that used to drive around, right, with the bottles of pop on the back.
And you take the empties back and get a couple of pence off your next drink.
That's it. That's what you need to do with expansion boxes. The fact that you can return them back when you get the collector's box for a discount.
I think you're right. Give you
10p off. Actually, it's not a lot, is it, 10p?
So how do you feel about Paladins?
So Paladins, I've played a couple of times. I've really enjoyed it. It's a bit of a table hog, and I don't have the biggest table. And that's probably, we're going to come on to sort of time and stuff like that in a minute. I've enjoyed it. I don't think I've played it enough to really say whether I prefer it to Architects, because I really enjoy Architects.
Yep.
But Architects is obviously, it's very familiar if you played any of the previous games. The iconography and everything, super straightforward, and kind of, it's really nice, just sort of flows really easily. Whereas Paladins, and I don't know if it's just me, I sort of feel, I don't know, I almost feel sometimes a bit overwhelmed with all the moving kind of parts.
Right, okay. Whereas I feel the opposite, because I think with Architects, you know, it feels like you are sort of underpowered because you can only, you play one meeple per turn, and sometimes you feel like you can do nothing except release your guys from prison, and it feels like a wasted turn. Whereas with Paladins, I think you've got an opportunity to sit there and think, right, okay, what colored meeples do I want for the next turn to do the thing that I think I need to do? So it's more complex, but you're right, it is a table hog, and I've only really played it solo against the AI. But yeah. I really like it. I've never won, but I really like it.
Yeah, and I've only played solo as well, and I think I'd like to play it with someone else.
Yeah.
Because I think that would probably, because I think, funny enough, for some of the reasons you talk about, the solo games, a lot of them, I sort of gravitate to those where I perhaps don't have to sit there sort of, you know, brain burning, because I don't have the mental capacity just because I'm fatigued from, you know, the working day kind of thing. You know, so I think maybe that's why I tend to go for the you know, Architects, because you're right, it is a bit more simplistic, but that in a way helps me churn through. Otherwise, right, I'll just sit there and give myself analysis paralysis, which is no fun on your own.
No, you're right, it's not. Although the one thing about all of his games are the AIs are really good.
Yeah.
You know, they're really good. They actually feel like another player that you're playing against. But if you think the original Paladins is a table hog, then you're fucked.
I was thinking this when you said put it to the right of it. I was thinking, right, so I will get an extension? Or,
correct. Yep.
I haven't even got a fold-out table. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So it looks like you will be stuck playing solo against the AI then, if, you know, if you played a four-player game at your house, I actually think some people might be on the floor.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. But anyway, that's my, so that kickstarts on the 16th of Feb. Okay. And I can't imagine it's going to be a long period of kickstart time, because I've seen a couple of people doing reviews of it. So they've obviously put out the review versions of it. So, you know, I would hope it wouldn't take long from kickstart start, kickstart finish and delivery.
Well, Shem Phillips, if you happen to be listening, if you need someone to test whether it will fit on a small table, we're the podcast for you if you want to send us a copy.
Yes, sneaky, whatever. Right, okay, moving on. Anything else from you?
So a couple from me. So Asmodee Digital have got they're up on Humble Bundle at the moment.
Right.
I think it's got 11 days, I think, left to run. So digital versions of board games for a, as usual, relatively small contribution. And I think the top amount is about £7.50 to get all the games. These are basically on Steam. So I think you'll need a Windows PC. I don't know if it works on Macs.
Right.
But some of the games on there are things like Small World, Pandemic, Ticket to Ride, Splendor, Terraforming Mars, and Blood Rage.
Do you mean, does Steam work on a Mac?
Yeah, does it? I don't know.
You and I played.
That's a good point.
Well, game, and I've only got a Mac, so.
Yeah, but what if you could use your right mouse button?
Well, shut up. Yeah, very funny. I went and bought myself a ball mouse and realised it wasn't the same kind of ball mouse as I had before, and I had to control it with my fingers rather than my thumb. And it's, you know, I'm just, you know, I don't know, I'm useless.
I've got one of those little trackball things, right? Yep. And I'll be sitting there working, and then I will literally be typing, and then I go to use it, and the ball will have disappeared, and my youngest has bloody run off with it.
Oh, they are nice, though, aren't they?
They are. Yeah. They are. They should actually, they should do a range. It should, so they probably do this. I'm just showing that I'm a Luddite. You buy like the, if you like the base, and then you can get different eyeballs, as I like to refer to them, to put in there.
Yep.
That'd be pretty cool.
You would buy that, would you?
Well, let's be fair. I buy any old shit sometimes. So
yeah, but what specific type of ball would you like to fondle whilst you're working on your computer?
Well, I might have the, this is the day I got up early, so I'm going to put in the Bloodshot ball. This is when it's a bit colder, so this ball's a bit slightly smaller radius. I don't know, there's options.
I'm naked from the waist down, so.
There you go. You could have your blue daubed ball.
So while we were prepping for this, I was looking at the Kickstarters that I've actually kickstarted that I'm waiting to deliver. So I've got four that I'm waiting for to deliver, actual games, and then I've got two expansions. The expansions are Cloud Spire, Anchor's Plunder, and Who Goes There, the upgrade pack. You know, the thing,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both of those games I've sold. And both of the Kickstarter deliveries I've sold as well. So
nice.
I keep getting Facebook messages saying, any more news? But they're going to hopefully deliver sometime in the next couple of months. But the one that is coming in, and this doesn't happen very often, it's delivering ahead of schedule, and it should be here, I'm hoping, beginning of March or end of February, is Unforgiven, the Lincoln assassination trial.
Oh, sounds good.
It's a two-player game. So, it, you know, if you think Watergate or Twilight Struggle or something like that, you know, 13 Days, all those sort of two-player games. And it is basically about the trial of the seven people who were accused of being involved in Lincoln's assassination. And one player plays prosecution, one player plays defense, and you play cards to try and influence the jury and, you know, the tracks on the board. But what's quite interesting about it is it's not just about playing the cards, because, you know, in those games, you play the card and you can either use it for the points, if you like, the influence to do something, or you can use it for the actual attribute on the card.
Yeah.
But these have also got trial dice that you roll, and they represent, I don't know, the changing nature of public opinion and current events and, you know, stuff. So it's got the cards and it's also got the dice. So there's a bit of, you can plan, but unexpected stuff can happen as well. And whilst I don't really like dice in games, as you know,
I have noticed. Let's be fair. Dice don't like you.
No, that's right. No, you're right. But it just looks intriguing. You know, as a two-player game, it looks beautiful. They've got, they use actual, you know, old photographs of the old generals and the jurors and stuff like that. So it just looks really good, and it should be delivering hopefully sometime this month, beginning of next month. I'm really looking forward to that one. And I stopped myself from going all in, because they were offering, I don't know, really super fancy stuff, but it's got wooden components and cards, and it just looks lovely.
Sounds nice.
Yeah. So once that comes in, I might cover it one day. In another podcast, Unforgiven, the Lincoln assassination trial.
But you're saying the other ones you got coming in, you've already sold on?
Well, no, that the two expansions, because I already had Cloud Spire, but I sold it. And yeah. And then Hugo's there. I didn't want to buy the whole game, so I just got the upgrade pack. And then I decided that it was probably never going to get played. So I binned that off as well. What else have I got? I've got Veiled Fate is one of them. I can't remember the other two. But the Kickstarter that has sort of not stressed me out, but it's kind of annoyed me a little bit, is Burgle Brothers, the Casino Capers.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I've got Burgle Brothers. Love
it. Yeah, I remember you talking about that, you and Dave talking about it.
Yeah, it's really good. And the Casino Capers is version 2 of the Burgle Brothers. But he's done some
Electric Boogaloo.
He's done some natty stuff. So if you check out the Kickstarter page, you know that the box opens up, and then once you've taken the components out, there are some bamboo or canes in there that you stick into the box and flip it up. So it's like a table, and you play on the table, and underneath the table as well. I'm not selling it very well. I'm not selling it very well. And I have to say, Tim Fowers hasn't sold it very well either, because it was September 2019 was when it finished. Estimated delivery, May 2020, and we're still waiting. Now, I understand, before anybody goes, yeah, but Steve, I understand that it's not a shop and what you're doing is investing in the development of the game. But I always find it really difficult to understand how you can be so far out with a predicted delivery date. Yeah, I know we're in the middle of a world pandemic, but following, it sounds like I'm really fucking down on him, but I just think he's taking his eye off the ball. But, you know, who am I? You know, he might have family problems. I don't know. Something else might be going on in his life. But I kept seeing about Tim Fowers has just backed this. Tim Fowers has just backed that. Tim Fowers has just launched another thing. And I think, why don't you finish my game first and then launch something else?
Yeah. And I think that you're right. I mean, Kickstarter is, you're always taking a risk, but I know exactly what you mean. And actually, there's been a couple of games that I've backed and they've said, oh, there's been a delay. So what we've decided to do is suspend our next one until we finish this one.
Yeah.
And I've been like, yeah, that's the way you should do it. Yeah. Because what you might actually do is you might get me to come back for the next one, rather than if you don't. You know, there was a company that I won't mention.
Yep. Ding, 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 ding. Ding, ding.
because of the way they acted, I wouldn't touch them, you know, again with a barge pole, because they just dicked everybody about and then went on the attack against people who were asking quite reasonable questions.
Yep.
And you know, there's just ways of doing it, and I don't know much about that game, and you know, like you said, it's difficult, there might be other stuff going on, so maybe it's just a bit of better comms might help.
Yeah, I mean, I understand, you know, you can't wait until something is delivered before you got your next product on the way, but what you should do is never let a new product impact on the product you've already said that you're going to deliver.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the way that it should be done. But hey, what do I know?
Well, let's cross our fingers that one turns up.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, that sort of covers everything I wanted to cover in Kickstarter and news. I don't know, have you got anything else?
Well, I have one which it'll be nice to finish on a positive.
Yeah. So,
and this, again, is on Kickstarter. Okay.
Okay.
I think I only went on this week. It's called Cora Quest or Cora Quest. It's by Dan Hughes and his daughter, Cora, who they do videos on the Dice Tower. They do reviews of kid games, right?
Yep.
And go and look at this, right? Anyone who's listening, go and look at it, right? What he did is they were there, you know, they're homeschooling, like, you know, a lot of us are doing as parents, realized that essentially sort of like the lessons were, you know, continual sort of exercises. They were just working through maths and whatever, and decided to make this game together. And basically designed the game together. So it's like build a little dungeon crawler. Yep. But it's brilliant. The artwork has been based off contribution by various people, you know, kids' drawings that are coming in, people sending it in from the community. He used it as an educational exercise to kind of, you know, build the game out with her. even comes with a web-based app, so you can basically design and print your own characters and put them in the game.
He got some professional artists to actually translate the drawings of the kids into real drawings, didn't he?
Yeah, to sort of reinterpret them into, you know, I would say go and look at it. It's absolutely charming. You know, you can actually play it on Tabletop Simulator and Tabletopia. It's the kind of thing that if either of my children actually would play any board games, I would love to back because we'd sit there and play it together. But being that you just tell me that I'm just a boring old nerd because it's not a video game, that can be problematic. But it looks absolutely fabulous. Love the idea of you know, that it's going to go out to people who are going to be able to create and put their own characters in there. You know, just looks great. And you know, I'd say to anybody, if you're thinking about getting behind something to, you know, a game to play with your kids, this just looks really good fun. It's got a lot of support in the community as well from various people, which is lovely to see. So, you know, let's finish on something nice. You know, looks great. Check it out. Cora Quest, I think that's got about 11 days to go. But yeah, ages 6 and up. So yeah, it's hopefully that'll be a real success, that one.
Yeah, well done, Cora. Well done, Cora's dad, and well done everybody else for chipping in.
Absolutely.
So we said that was the end of the news, but I've got a bit of news that I've kept from you. Excuse me. Because today it's been confirmed, and I know we spoke about it. The next episode we were talking about trying to do some special. So the next episode is gonna be a special on RPGs.
Hooray!
And we have got Ross Morrissey from Morris's Unofficial Tabletop RPG Talk podcast.
Excellent.
Coming in. Well, I say coming in. He's obviously not coming in. He's dialing in, whatever he's doing. But he is going to be our first
special guest.
Our first guesticle. And, awesome.
And just because he's coming in, I am working on his own little theme thing. Bit of theme tune. Excellent. Music so that we can fanfare him in when he arrives.
Excellent.
So that will be in the next podcast. I've already tied him down to a date, and you and I just need to get our shit together. Here's the way I think it's going to work. You know loads and loads about RPGs. You're going to be driving the car, and I'm just going to be in the back seat making stupid comments and making sure everyone's got snacks.
Excellent, because I'm going to ask him probably all the questions that everyone always asks him.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it'll be cool. I'm really looking forward to it. So yeah, wow, somebody who's actually made something.
Yeah, this will be a treat. Someone who made something and does something. Yeah. Like that, that's his job.
It's you know, genuinely, I'm really excited by this. This will, I think, be really, really interesting to hear his hobby jobby as well.
Yeah, I'm going to ask him for a job, I think, maybe. Maybe that's what I'm going to do. Is that our news then?
Yes.
Right, okay. So I'm thinking, because I'm conscious of time, should we just go straight into Hobby Jobby?
Yeah, I got a super quick Hobby Jobby this week.
Right, okay, let's do it.
Hobby
Jobby.
Hobby
Jobby.
Hobby
Jobby.
Hobby Jobby.
Don't touch the Jobby.
What is your Jobby?
Okay, here we go. So you're going to have to, I need you to role play with me here a bit, Steve.
Oh no, we know. Okay. I'm rubbish at that. I just make stupid jokes.
Right, here we go. Okay, so here, I'm going to set the scene for you and I'm going to ask you a question. So Steve, I am making myself a sandwich.
Okay.
In that sandwich, I'm putting lettuce, I'm putting tomato, I'm putting ham and cheese. Steve, am I going to enjoy the sandwich?
Well, I don't know, but I fucking would. But because Steve, I'm vegan I would.
But why can't you tell me whether I'm going to like the sandwich?
Because I don't know all of your tastes. I would assume if you'd chosen to make that sandwich that there might be something in there that you'd like.
Ah, but how? I would just want to know, did I do well with my sandwich that I made myself?
I don't know. Am I in the room? Can I see the sandwich?
Well, here, and this is it, right? This is my hobby jobby this week, right?
Go on then.
Please, people on Facebook, can you please stop putting up posts saying, posting up a picture of a game that you've bought and asking people, am I going to enjoy this? Make your own mind up, please. It drives me absolutely skippy. And it's like people go, I've bought this game. Am I going to enjoy it? Did I do well? Who gives an absolute tapneys whether whoever on the internet thinks you've done a good job or not? It's down to whether you like it. You might buy a game which is rated 5.4 on BGG, but if you like it, that's what is important. Not what someone says online, not some reviewer, not someone. It just drives me mad. Please, please don't do it. I guess that people, I don't know what they're looking for. You know, why are they asking it?
Yeah, because I don't know what you do, but before I buy a game, I do a bit of investigation. I watch videos on YouTube, but I don't watch strategy videos because I like to find out the pitfalls for myself. But I do watch to see what the game's about before I invest my money. I can't think of a single game. Obviously, we've just been speaking about Kickstarters, but even they've got videos. I haven't bought a single game where I thought, I'm just going to buy that, and then I'm going to ask someone else if I like it.
Yeah, and the thing is, where else do you see this happen, right? So where else do you see, say, I bought a record. So before I listen to the record, I'm going to post online to someone saying, am I going to enjoy this record? It just doesn't happen. I don't care why it happens. I don't know if it's unique to board games, but, you know, it just seems a bit wrong.
Do people ever reply and go, just play it, find it for yourself?
They do sometimes, but what you also get is a lot of people offering their opinion on the game, and it's like, that's great. Your opinion is completely valid to you, but you know what? You're not me. So, you know, you don't know if I'm going to like my sandwich, do you? Because actually it turns out I don't like tomato. So there we go.
It's a bit like, unfortunately, forums, and we've discussed it before, social media platforms, people say things they would never, ever say to anybody else face to face. The Arkham horror, you know, card game forum is a good example of, you've played the game, yeah?
I think I've played it once.
Yeah, well, there's a card in there that everybody who's never played the game before, or a lot of people who've never played it before, it comes up on the forum all the time. I can't find the Rita Chandler card. And then someone will immediately reply, day one, dot, dot, dot. And it's, you know, it's a, but why don't people just help? Why do people, you know, everybody was a newbie once. You know, yeah. So help out. If someone's got a question, you know, I thought I'm on a Logic Pro forum because I do music as well. And people, the dicks just go, why don't you try Googling? You just think, fuck off. You're here. You must have been a newbie once. You must have asked questions. Why don't you help people out?
But they're making themselves feel good about themselves, aren't they?
Yeah, it pisses me off.
Knowledge is power.
2 minutes on Google will give you the answer. Well, fuck yourself.
Yeah, because Google's really trustworthy, I find.
Exactly.
That and Wikipedia. I live my life by both of those.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can't argue with your hobby, Joey, because I think you're absolutely right.
There you go. I told you it was a short one as well. It's just every time I just feel like saying to people, play it. If you like it, it's good. Forget what anyone else says.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what anyone else's opinion is.
Correct. I'm just trying to think now. I'm just looking at my shelves and thinking, is there a game that I really like that nobody else really likes? There's lots of games that, you know, we talk about mentioning games that you've never heard of before.
Hmm.
But we're going to come on to a game that I really like that never seems to get mentioned very often when we start doing the main section of the podcast. So, shall we just finish Hobby Joby there?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Hobby.
Joby.
Hobby.
Joby.
Hobby.
Joby.
Hobby Joby.
Don't touch the Joby.
So, on to the main topic of the day.
Yes.
Which is time, or lack of time. I'm just going to stick this little bed in the background and... Yeah, time. Lack of time. So since we last spoke, I have played the sum total of no games.
Yeah.
That's pretty shocking for me. I normally try and squeeze, you know, one game in a week maybe. And, you know, the job I do at the moment, since New Year, it's just been bonkers. And because I deal with international people, I've got guys in Taiwan at the moment. So they're 8 hours ahead. So as soon as I get up, I'm on Skypes and emails and stuff. And then the other client I've got at the moment is in Colombia. So they're at the middle of the afternoon and the end of the day. So by the time I've finished, especially on Skypes, you know, that lasts an hour and somebody's trying to translate or you're trying to understand, I'm absolutely wasted.
Yeah, and there's no, with the way things are going for a lot of people, if you're working from home, there's no sort of division anymore between home and work. It's just continual.
Correct.
Yeah. No, look, I've been the same. I've done a bit of reading, although I can trump you because I have played some games.
What have you played?
Well, I'm going to, this will blow your socks off. So I've managed to play Rhino Hero. There we go.
The card building tower thing.
Stack up, yeah. So did my youngest, you know, did actually play that with me. And we also played Jurassic Snack as well.
What the hell is that?
So honestly, Jurassic Snack, look it up. It's got some of the best little dinosaur characters in it. Basically, you've got the tiles and it's like tile flipping that you're moving and you're trying to pick up tiles that give you different points and bonuses and what have you. And it's a cool little fun game. But the only reason I got to play anything this week was because board gaming unusually encroached into family time, because normally my kids aren't interested in board games at all. Yep. So that's the two main things I played, although I did get Elder Sign to the table as well.
Solo.
And astounding news for me, for the first time ever, I actually won at Elder Sign. So the dice were with me.
Was that the base game or had you chucked a couple of expansions in?
Do you know, I actually played it with, so I always play with Unseen Forces, which I think is the first one.
Okay.
Because to me, that makes the game complete. And then I played the one with Gates of Arkham, and right, I actually beat Gates of Arkham, and I have never beaten that ever. So, you know, that was a bit of a Brucey bonus this week.
Were you playing properly?
No, I cheated. No, I didn't. Did I? Might have done. I don't remember cheating, but I probably did. I was quite tired.
As an aside then, you know when you play a game and you get to the end and you've won, and then you realise that you've done something wrong, do you still consider it a win?
Yes, I'd say this is a house rule for this particular day. The thing is, it's difficult, isn't it? Because winning and losing, kind of, to me, it's a bit like, yeah, whatever. It's really about, so, particularly solo games, it's just kind of, it's just doing something, isn't it? It's basically finding something to spend your time doing before you die, which is kind of most of the things we do after a while.
Cheery.
Well, you there's only so much learning you do, isn't it? You learn and you grow up and all the rest of it, and then you stop learning stuff, and everything from then on in is just like, well, what can I do before it's all over?
Yeah. Oh, good. Happy Sunday.
Yeah, that was a bit darker than I imagined. Maybe that's because I started reading A Thousand-Year-Old Vampire, which is a solo RPG book.
Oh, right, okay.
I think this is really bloody difficult to buy physically, but you can get the PDF of it. And basically, it's like, it's like a sort of a journal where you are, basically, you live as someone who's going to live through multiple generations.
Yep.
And you will love, you will lose. And it's built on sort of like your memories and experiences that happen.
Yep.
You can only retain so many, and sort of, so you lose relationships and build other relationships as you go through.
Right.
I've read a lot about it. I've started playing it. I think it's great so far. Even if you can only pick up the PDF, it's definitely worth looking out for. And it's basically, you've got a series of sort of prompts that will drive you forward. So you will kind of, it will make you make particular decisions. And remember, you're a vampire through this. You're going to do some pretty horrible stuff to people throughout it as well.
Yep.
Really interesting. Huh. Really interesting.
So we covered work getting in the way of life. One of mine is guilt at playing too much. And it's a weird one because, you know, Maria actually actively doesn't care if I'm in the same room as her. So she'll say to me, do you want to play a game tonight? Not as in, do you want to play a game with me? I don't know whether she's saying, get out of the room and go play a game, which she isn't. But I sometimes think I shouldn't really play for the third time this week. I should spend some time with my partner. But of course, she always says, I don't mind. You know, we're in the same house. It's fine. Don't worry about it. So, you know, in the words of Radiohead, you do it to yourself, you do. And that's what really hurts. So that's mine. Guilt at playing too much. And it's guilt that I have done to myself.
But ask yourself this. So I share a similar guilt, right? So it's basically my wife doesn't particularly like stuff, right?
Stuff?
Yeah. So she's kind of not interested
in general.
Well, you know, if you try to buy her something, right? And she's not someone who'd enjoy anything sort of frivolous or anything just for the sake of having it.
Yep.
You know, she's not sort of driven in that way. Whereas this hobby, by the nature of the physicality of it, means that you end up with lots and lots and lots of boxes and books and all the rest of it around the house.
Yep.
So I similarly feel quite sort of often guilty because not only am I spending time on these things, I'm filling the house up with things that nobody else is interested in. And genuinely, so I am really the only player in the house. And I don't mean like, hey, I'm the only player. Yep. I mean, I'm the only person who plays games in the house.
Yep.
You're right, it's difficult. But then again, when I sort of sit there and I say, okay, well, we'll sit and do something together, we'll end up watching the telly. And we don't really watch anything because I'm not that interested in telly. I watch some, WandaVision's very good, by the way. Won't give any spoilers.
I was going to say, because I haven't even had a chance to watch episode one yet. I have got it sitting ready to watch, and then I'll decide whether I'm going to follow up. But everybody keeps talking about it, so...
It's really good.
But do you have to be invested in, is it Marvel or is it the other one?
So I think it is Marvel. So I would say no.
You have to know the lore.
No, I don't think so. I think you would get more out of it, but I don't think it detracts from it. Right. What I would say to it is go into it with an open mind.
Okay.
Because if you go into it expecting it's going to be a particular thing, particularly the early episodes, you're going to sit there and just think, what the hell have I just sat here watching?
Right.
But as it comes together, I suppose, if you've seen Life on Mars, have you? And Ashes to Ashes,
yes.
Right? Imagine a similar sort of take on that, whereas you're dealing with sort of a reality that isn't real, but it's being manifested in a particular way.
Okay.
If you go in knowing that, I think you're cool with it. You'll be fine.
It looks a little bit like Bewitched.
And that's part of the reality that's built. It's cool. It's cool.
Okay.
But my wife, she loves to watch murder programs, real life murder programs. And sort of the investigations. Obviously, she's planning mine, judging by how much I annoy her. So it's difficult, isn't it? Because, you know, I will quite often sit there when she's watching that and I'll sit there reading a role-playing book or something like that.
Right.
And I think it is difficult because, you know, time is, you know, as we said, you know, really pressured at the moment. You know, I will sit there and do that so I am in the same room. You know, I've got the special chair. So I will sit there while they're in there watching The Masked Singer or some murder program or whatever it is, you know? And that's as kind of, you know, as close as it gets to kind of sharing in the hobby. Because actually, the problem I get at the moment is game set up and tear down time.
Yeah.
And it's a terrible thing, you know? It's the commitment of saying, oh, I'm going to sit here for 20 minutes, putting all the bits out. And then I'm going to play the game for 2 hours. And then it's another 20 minutes to put it all away.
And you know that you have to take it down as well, don't you? So
Yeah. What I need is a super can of spray mount that I can spray on the board and then just kind of lift it all off, stick it somewhere and then put it back out the next day. I have genuinely taken photos so I could put everything back out. But then you realize it's just twice as long putting it all back out afterwards.
Yeah. Well, you can tell, Jill, that Maria and I sat and watched six episodes yesterday of the first 48 Homicide Squad Atlanta. So yeah, it's specifically Atlanta.
Atlanta's a good one, apparently.
Yeah, and it was 6 episodes. And it's a bit hackneyed, you know, the guy who was one of the policemen, he was obviously mugging it for the camera. But, you know, it was quite interesting. I kind of love that stuff as well. Documentaries, that's basically what Maria and I binge on.
Yeah, yeah. See, there was some, because we've got Valentine's coming up, haven't we?
I was going to say, if she doesn't like frivolous things, you're fucked.
Well, yes, this is true. But I've managed to get it wrong every year so far. So, you know, I'm not
wrong date.
No, I've got the right day. It's the wrong presents. But I saw this thing, right? And we're on safe ground because she's never going to listen to this podcast.
Okay.
But I saw this thing on Etsy, and it was actually, it was like a murder case. It's like a murder mystery case. You have to investigate yourself.
Ooh.
And I thought, oh, I might get that. Ooh. So I might get her that. But my slight worry is she's going to look at it and go, yeah, I like watching it. I don't want to actually do it, mate. So, can I just point out, you don't actually have to murder anyone in the game. I think that's optional. That's probably a stretch goal.
Yeah, good luck with that then.
Yeah.
But whilst we're on those things, murder stuff, I'm just going to put a shout out, and you know I recommended this one to you, a podcast by the people who are in our house. They're colloquially known as the Murder Birds.
It
is My Favourite Murder by two women.
Your favourite what, sorry?
Murder. Fuck off. That was the bane of my life when I first moved down here. I'll say curly wurly. Go on, say it.
Say murder. Brood from Gerdes.
It's Murder Taggart. That was, yeah. Ha, 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 for the 50th time. it's called My Favourite Murder. It's a really great podcast. It's very funny. Coming to it late, it's like anything, you know, you've got like 75 episodes that you can listen to. But yeah, you can see the progression they've made and grown into it, and it's brilliant.
Yeah, I've listened to it. I would agree. I think it's really cool. The only thing is...
Go on then.
Okay. Do you not sometimes listen to the kind of, you know, people who put in the letters, they sort of, well, I assume
when they do, when they do the mini casts that are...
Yeah, yeah. And they say, we've had a message in from so-and-so, and they tell me, and I'm like, fucking hell. I mean, does that... Either someone's got a really vivid imagination or the world is really like fucking dreadful. Some of them are just, because I guess, and maybe that's the beauty of it, is it's so personal that it's coming from the person who's written in. It's like absolutely horrifying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But you've got to listen to it knowing that it's pretty gory. Basically, the format is they do a bit of chit and a bit of chat at the start. Then one of them does their favourite murder for the week they've picked from, you know, the pantheon of stuff. And then the other one does theirs. And whilst one is telling the tale, the other one, because they're West Coast, the other one is invariably sitting there going, oh my God, oh sweet baby, oh Jesus, Jesus. But it's very funny and very good. I think Karen Kilgariff is actually a stand-up comic. But they're both, and Georgia Hardstark. What great names, eh? Mm. Hardstark and Kilgariff. And they do...
Sounds like a detective series.
Yeah, exactly. But listen to them. My Favourite Murder. Brilliant.
So that's another way to spend the time which we've just been complaining about not
we
having.
We don't have enough of. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right. We're almost at an hour, mate, and we haven't really... I mean, I guess we've discussed time, haven't we?
Yeah, well, kind of. Here's the discussion. We don't have enough time, and that's it.
Yeah. No, I think you're probably right. Maybe we should just sign out here and actually try and bring it under... what we said we were going to break, because we've got about a minute and 10 seconds till it's an hour.
If you've got a minute, I've got 4 questions for you.
I'll go on then. Hold on. Let me... where's my buttons? Here's my button for that. Let's turn that one off. Let's go back there. And we will go straight on to 4 questions.
Here we go.
Yep.
Your first question. What's the best ever game component you've had?
Best ever game component? Oh, my God. I think I posted a picture today. The Trogdor stuff is brilliant. The miniatures in Trogdor are just fantastic, especially the little guy running around with his hair on fire.
Nice. Okay, biggest surprise in the game?
Biggest surprise in a game? Biggest surprise in a game? Probably Robinson Crusoe, actually, because I went into it thinking it was going to be fantastic. And the biggest surprise was that you basically never win. You always die. And I didn't realize that when because I hadn't bothered, you know, I didn't go, hey, do you think I'm going to like this game? No, I just went and played it and then died and then played it again and died and then I died. And now whenever anybody asks about the game, I just say, just prepare to die.
Sounds good.
Oh,
here we go. I got two more for you. You only got two in. Here we go.
Shall I just do it again?
Yeah, come on then. do you prefer to get plastic or get wood?
It's funny. I wouldn't. If I'm kickstarting, then that gives me wood.
Nice. And what's the best board game or gaming smell?
The best board gaming or gaming smell. I think I just like the smell when you unwrap cards at first.
Nice. Yeah.
It's that print just the smell. Box. It's nice, isn't it? It's just the box.
Yeah.
That was nice. Sounds inside. Good. Yeah. Good. Okay. Let's see. What that's. I've gone and shagged this right up by having to do it twice. We've still got 20 seconds to go and we've gone over an hour now. That's a disaster. I'm just going to let it play out. But whilst this is getting ready to go, so the next podcast, Stu.
Yes.
You must be excited.
I am. I'm going to get dressed up in my best wizard's outfit and go full on role playing. No, it'll be good. Good. Looking forward to it. Because just the amount of work that you have to put into those things, amazing. So it'd be really good just to chat to someone who's gone through all that learning and all the rest of it.
Well, can you just promise me that you will do all of the heavy lifting in terms of asking what might appear to be intelligent questions, and I will try and come up with what I imagine is comedy, but will in fact just be fucking stupid comments.
Yes.
You're going to do that?
I will try.
Okay. All that's left to say is stay bold.
And be bored.